Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, right now, on a Friday, The Drive is live.
That's right, The Drive is live. You heard Clint. Chris Santiago is in again as Tyler is in Disney. He sent us a very early text saying that he was 3 mimosas deep and Goofy was standing behind him.
What was it, about 9:30 this morning?
Go ahead and do your thing, man.
I guess out there
Goofy,
at 10:30, right?
Literally Goofy standing behind him, and he was, as he said, he was 3 mimosas deep. And who knows where he is right now, but he's having himself a good time. But we are in good hands. Area 45's Chris Santiago is rolling with us. And
how we doing, guys?
We're doing all right. And I'm wondering how the people are doing who took your betting advice.
Oh, man.
I also heard you talking to Clint in the hallway as I was leaving about the betting advice. We'll see. It's all right. Win some, lose some. I just know, when you got into the week, Tyler was 60% plus with his bets. Let's see where he ends up at the end of the week on Friday once you've got done and torn it up. But that's all right. Chris Santiago's in here. A lot to get to on this beautiful Friday as, hey, no football, or at least no tackle. We got the Pro Bowl, I guess. And then next week we gear up for the final football game of the season, so a lot to get to here. I want to start here and get on my soapbox real quick before we get into this. Last night you didn't have no damn excuse unless you're just living without cable. But the Rockets were on for national TV, had a TNT ball game right there. They Charles, Kenny, Shaq, Ernie. Glowing comments about that game yesterday. If you watched the game, I hope you did, and you saw your Rockets, the number 2 seed in the West. And we get it up and down this text line, Chris and Clint. And many of you who have the NBA sucks now, it's boring now, I wish we were back in the 80s and the 90s when they had half football players out there like Anthony Mason running around. I wish I hate the game. It's so boring. I stopped watching the NBA. Last night was an example of why that's a narrative and not true. And there are games like that all the time. And I know, Chris, you watch a lot of games as well. Last night was a fun basketball game. You heard Reggie Miller at the end saying, I hope those two get into a series. They're going back and forth. I don't know about you, but I'm sitting there watching the game. I wasn't sitting there thinking, damn, I think they're taking too many threes. Damn, I think we need to add a 4-point shot. damn, I think we need to take away the... No, that was a fun game against teams that were getting up and down. And listen, it was a tough loss, 121-19 for the Rockets, but it was a really, really fun game, and you didn't have John Morant in it, and you didn't have the newly crowned All-Star in Şengün in it for the Rockets.
Afferen Şengün.
That was a fun, fun basketball game to watch, and it's one of many that the Rockets have been involved in, just like the Celtics game. So I rebuke the, oh, the NBA is boring. It sucks now. No, that was a fun, fun basketball game, and it was fun to watch. Now, the other four games last night were blowouts, but that one, and there are many like that, were fun. That was a fun, fun game.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if the Rockets Grizzlies are going to revive the NBA in some folks' mind, but that was, to your point, that was a tremendous basketball game. I'll tell you boys how I did it. I had a little something, you know, when I get home, it's I got time with my two little girls before we put them to bed, and then I got two, so my wife puts one to bed, I put the other to bed, so we get a little one-on-one time with each baby there. They're right about the time you get about midway through the first quarter. So I turn it on with the babies, and even when I turn it on, the babies are there. It's kind of background, right? But I told myself, I'm going to go ahead and just DVR it, and then that way, whenever I do start watching it, I can catch up with no commercials and just fast forward it, right? By the time I got my little one down, my kid I'm talking about, I come back in there, boys, and at this point, it took me a while. It was damn near, I mean, we're kicking the third quarter. And so I'm like, well, shoot, I'll start it over. I'll catch up. I messed around and looked at my phone and saw that it was a tight ball game. I couldn't wait. I couldn't just be patient and sit there and watch the DVR. I was like, hell, I got to get back in this third quarter and see what the hell's going on. To hell with this second quarter and half the first quarter that I hadn't watched yet. I mean, that's how used to I would get sidetracked and be like, oh, well, hell with this DVR. I ain't watching none of it. I mean, I had to go ahead and just fast forward, you know, jump into live TV and watch it. You were right, Ron. It was a hell of a basketball game. It was a physical basketball game. There was a throwback element since you're talking about the throwback. There was a throwback element with them big centers going at it.
Until they had to come off the floor.
Yeah, until they couldn't run with everybody else. Until it started mattering, right?
Until they subbed Dylan Brooks in for Steven Adams. Right.
And Big Edie and his nose brace got over on the bench. But they're initially out of the gate, there was, you're right. When I was watching on the DVR, then Big Boys was going at it. And then all of a sudden, when I flipped to the late in the third quarter, they was done.
You never saw him again.
Never saw him again, right?
Hey, they had that big tall dude that could shoot them threes for, I can't remember his last name, for Memphis.
Starts with an A.
Aldama.
Yeah, Aldama. Yeah,
did you see him shoot that damn three? Yeah. A cross court pass, and he shot it. He never cocked it. He just shot it from top of his head.
As soon as he came in, Reggie said, yeah, if I was him, I'd take Steven Adams outside. He did. And Steven Adams took a seat over there until Big Zach Edey. But someone coming in and texting in, the NBA not being fun is not a narrative show. You can try to rebuke all you want, but the NBA sucks. No, it definitely is a narrative. It is a narrative that the game is boring and all the teams look alike and they shoot too many threes. That is absolutely one of the things that have taken off about the game, along with load management and other things where people are talking about, let's take away the corner three or let's make dunks worth threes, whatever. No, it is. It is a narrative. And if you watch last night was just an example of games that happen night after night that are like that. Many games that are like that. That Golden State OKC game was a fun, fun game to watch. Up and down. Yes, it is a narrative. And it is what people talk about. No, the NBA doesn't suck. It doesn't. And if you watched last night, you would see that. Now, if you want to talk about suck, I don't know if that's the word to use. After we get past the point of, yes, it was a fun game to watch between those two young teams, it did not shake out the way the Rockets wanted it to, and they had a lead there late, and they were leading throughout the third and the fourth quarter, at least the start of the fourth. Then it became a little tighter, and they were going back and forth. But in that game, from a perspective of how they ended up losing that thing, especially late, what came to mind to you all? 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well.
Well, I mean, it's easy for me. I mean, the ending, the way the game ended, whether it ended good or bad for the Rockets, just the way it ended, it was so sloppy. And to me, Ron, this is the strongest evidence. We have a lot of conversations on this show that'll stir up Rocket Nation, if you will, about keeping this core together or not, and this is the group or not. Is Jalen Green the guy or not? I think last night was a really good sign of this team's just not quite there yet. When I say that, I mean the majority of teams that are surefire playoff championship contenders, when you get two or three possessions at the end of the fourth quarter that are going to be a difference, makes a one-point ball game, you know who's going to have the ball in their hand.
Yep. Even Memphis, who didn't have their best player, it was going to be Bane, yep, or it was going to be Jackson.
Yeah.
And that's what happened down the stretch.
Yeah. And I don't like...
Someone just texted in Fred Damn Van Vliet.
I like Fred. I said this before. I like Fred Van Vliet. I like him to be kind of that dude that you can put in the game, and if everybody's going nuts, he can calm the waters, and he's a situational guy throughout a game. I do not like Fred Van Vliet with the ball in his hands down one, or even tie ball game. Game on the line. I don't like Fred Van Vliet being the guy that's got to take that many shots at the end of a game.
To that point, Clint, the last three possessions, and I know both of you all watched it, the last three possessions, 53 seconds left. Fred with a turnover. They get the ball back. 15 seconds. Fred, step back three with Jaren Jackson, the former defensive player of the year, two-time block champion in the NBA, right on him to kind of mess with the shot. He misses that. Then they take the lead, and if we hear from Udoka, he was trying to get the ball to Amen Thompson. That was how it was drawn up. But still, it ended up in Fred's hands, and Fred misses a three with 2 seconds left. Fred Van Vliet had the ball in his hands to miss shots and make the decisions. And that can't be the case.
Two of them were out of timeouts, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's
I just came like that can't be the case. As I said to you all in the break, to go back, like he's the Derek Fisher. He should be somewhere spotting up for the person who is the one that takes the ball, and if they got to get it to him because they are double teamed or something, they get it to him. Not him be the one to get it. And yes, you would think it would be Jalen Green, but damn it, you got to go get it, or Amen, you got to go get the ball. And again, I'll be honest with you, Jalen Green's fourth quarter wasn't exactly fantastic either. I don't love his shot selection. Back then, he doesn't get to his spots. If you saw it, Jaren Jackson went and got to his spot. Bam. Bane got to his spots. They ran their pick and roll. Bang, they got it. That is to the point you're making of they're not quite there yet. Because in that situation, in the playoffs and series, down the stretch of games, not just the last possession, but down the stretch of games, that's what you're going to have to deal with. And it's like, who is it that you want the ball in their hand down the stretch? Not just a final shot, but down the stretch that you believe is going to make good decisions, that you believe is going to either get himself a good shot or get somebody else a good shot. Who is that guy? And I'm not saying they haven't done it at all this season. They have. But last night was an example of, it seemed like, damn, who was it supposed to be?
Yeah. Well, that was definitely a rough ending last night. Like you said, it's not an overall concern on the season. It's just, to me, it's one of those last night didn't go the way they expected. And when it's all said and done, putting the ball for sure in the hands of Fred Van Vliet, and then hoping that you can get it to the other guys who then aren't assertive enough to go get the damn ball the way that some of the greats do. That's something they got to figure out.
But real, Chris, and you can jump in on this too, and the text line and YouTube and Twitch. I know Shingun was out yesterday, so that may be that. Let's play him into this equation as well. Who do you feel comfortable with right now? Because like this person just texted in, they lost one game. Hey man, listen, the Rockets have raised the expectation with their play.
Sure.
So right now you start to kind of look at these things as, all right, when they get in the postseason, and they got teams that are game planning for them, like, how is this going to look? And this late game situation, you can't go turnover, bad, low percentage shot from a role player and then another shot to end it from a role player. That can't be the way you end it when the other team is getting the ball to the in the hands of their best players on all the possessions to get there. So we've raised the expectation, and we're looking deeper down into it. Who is it that you feel comfortable with the ball in their hand down the stretch of games right now?
Fred would be fourth on my list. I don't know if comfortable is the right word, but I feel the most confident can get a bucket or get to the foul line when you need it the most. And I'm talking about the ability to get around somebody, force the defense to collapse or not, and if they don't, then you get to the bucket, right? Or if they do, you kick it, you get a wide open shot, right? I go Jalen Green, I go Amen Thompson, and then the other one was out last night.
Shingun.
I'd go Shingun is three, and then Van Vliet is four. That's the way I would ride with it, just generally speaking.
I'd go with those three as well.
Are you comfortable?
I'm more comfortable with maybe Shingun.
Yeah, because Shingun or Thompson to me.
Because as soon as you get Shingun the ball, they're going to double him.
And then and he makes good. That's the thing for me with both of them. Thompson and Shingun, I think, are more likely to make the right play.
Yeah.
But Green's probably at this moment naturally more talented than them.
And he can create his own shot.
He can create, but I think those two can too, maybe not to the level. But even in that, when he goes to create his own shot, sometimes they're not good shots. Like sometimes it's like you bailed him out. Like sometimes he's trying to take step backs or whatever, just get to the lane and get to the cup or get to a place. Like when I watch him, and I think it was a big difference from like Bain and Jackson, they've got spots on the floor and things that I'm trying to get to where I know this is what I want to get to.
Yep.
I don't think Jalen has that right now. I don't think there's, like, you could see Jaren Jackson was trying to get to a spot where he could get that one-head hook, and he was just killing me, just did it down the stretch repeatedly. Yep. Jalen he might go step back here, he may go drive and what, like, you know, that's my only thing, and I don't know about his decision, because I do think when he gets it, down the stretch, it's going up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to something like it's going to be. It's going up. So that's why, like someone just texted in, like Greg said, you can't watch that game last night and think this team wouldn't be better with a Devin Booker
De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox. Yeah, can't think. Yeah, better with a De'Aaron Booker or Fox from Black Greg. Yeah, I mean that was what jumped out. Elias, I mean, good game, really great game. Rockets are still one of the best teams, still think that they're – now I think what we're going to do and what they're showing is kind of raise the expectation and kind of look at things in a light of down the stretch. Still in a great – they won five in a row, they dropped one. They're still a good basketball team, but that's just the takeaway. All right, coming up as we continue here on a Friday, C.J. Stroud has decided to do something. We'll tell you what that is on the other side, and do you think this is an issue for him? We'll discuss that next.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. If you're looking for Tyler, Tyler is out. I would assume hammered somewhere in Florida at Disney. So have a good time, T-Mill. Do your thing, man. If he was three mimosas deep at 9:30, only God knows where he is at this point.
Yes.
I mean, we've reached.
God and Megan.
God, what'd you say?
God and Megan.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Know where he's at.
Nowhere. Because we have moved towards whiskey territory for Tyler. All right. The Pro Bowl is coming up this weekend. They've already started some of the skills stuff. And this has come out this week that C.J. Stroud, who was given a call to be an alternate as some of the quarterbacks have dropped out, he declined the offer. He was invited. He declined the offer per source. Said, I think this is the start of the offseason, and he's putting his head down and getting to work. So he is skipping that, and that is what he is doing. He is putting his head down, getting to work. And we've talked about it, and some of you have texted in and tweeted in about it, that this is a little different than what we saw from last year where he was in the Pro Bowl. We saw him doing some different things, which I didn't have a problem with. Live your life. Do you think, though, and you can jump in on this, do you think, though, that last year's offseason had anything to do with his sophomore slump, if that's what we're calling it, with his steps back? Do you think last year's offseason, where we saw him participating in a lot of different things, and like you said, we probably won't see him at Radio Row this year, talking about, the Colts and things like that, all the things he did?
Yeah.
Do you think that had anything to do? Because you're the one to kind of talk to. You understand. You've been there. You play in the NFL and understand, like, the focus or whatever. You think that had anything to do with maybe the steps back he took this year?
No, I don't think it did. Now, it has a lot to do with the look of it and the way I think people that including himself and D'Amico and are in the organization, I think – obviously, people that cover us, the people that cover the organization closely. I would be lying if I said that I don't think it was a bad look, especially in hindsight, right? I you and I didn't like it at the time, or I don't speak for you. I know we talked about it on our show, and I said at the time, like, I don't feel real good about this whole change in what these guys are talking about right now. You better go out and ball if this is what you're going to be talking about. It's definitely a change in messaging coming out of the building last year versus this year, or let's say 2023 versus 2024, and then you look at what happened, it's definitely not a plus. I don't look up and go, boy, well, C.J. Stroud had what they're going to call a sophomore slump because he was walking around Radio Row pissing off in-division opponent linebackers and doing whatever he was doing.
Or
no,
he went to China or he played the NBA.
I don't think that had anything to do with the sophomore slump. Now, I like to think that it's going to have a lot to do with that third year, the junior jump, if you will. How about that? How about that, boys? The junior jump, if you will. Wow. Yeah, look, I think he's
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Are you a fan of what Clint is now deeming the junior jump? Or do you think Clint needs to go back to the drawing board
nope.
on that?
I think it's really good.
That was good.
C.J. Stroud needs to follow up his sophomore slump with a junior jump, baby. Let's see if we can get this thing rolling. Yeah, I think it's great. I think, I mean, I don't feel too corny when I say it. I think it's got, I think it's very obvious. People that are listening know exactly what I'm talking about. It does have a little ring to it. Yeah, I think there's something there. The sophomore slump and the way he addressed his sophomore season, kind of the way he just approached it personally, with probably living in the moment a little bit with the rookie of the year, the Super Bowl stuff, as you said, to going to China, the all of a sudden you got money and fame and you're the talk of the town in
NBA
NFL All-Star circles.
Weekend.
Yeah, you're the dude now. You know, hopefully he looks back at that and goes, you know, I need to spend more of my time in Houston working with my guys in this new system than going to China and doing all these other things. You got the rest of your life. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear this, but I'm just going to keep it a buck. You got the rest of your life to vacation. You got the rest of your life to be going to taking all these trips all over the place and this quote unquote downtime, relaxed time. D'Amico Ryans himself said it. Look, he said it in I don't remember which one of the pressers it was, but it was one of his pressers immediately after the season was over. He said, look, I want guys to get out, and I'm paraphrasing here. I want guys to get out, get a little downtime, but after the Super Bowl's over, it's time to go to work. It's time to get back to work. And I think that is the mindset. If there's a celebrity softball game here locally and you're in town working with your dudes, go play in a softball game. Cool. Yep. Right? But we don't need to take weeks at a time going to China.
Because there were some people texting that thought, boy, this is doing too much. People were saying that.
Well, no,
I don't think I necessarily agreed with
it. Well, I don't know if it was too much or it wasn't, but I know it's going, like we talked about when the guys, when Nico and Tank are talking about the stats that they want
to
accumulate.
That to me is different.
Right.
That, yeah.
But Ron, all of it is at the moment, I don't think is a problem. But if you don't go out there and perform and do those things, ultimately as a team, when you're talking about these leaders that we're talking about.
Now people are going to lean back.
Absolutely. And rightfully so. People are going to look back and go, hey, man, like let's dial this thing back a little bit. Like there's no reason for CJ to be on Radio Row in any way, shape, or form throwing gas on the fire of what the hell's going on in Indianapolis with them linebackers. There's nothing. Right? And that in a vacuum, there's nothing wrong with it. But the overall, all of the stuff, I think CJ would tell you, hey, man, I got a little too much into the moment. I was probably feeling myself a little bit more than I should. And I need to get this thing dialed back in. And I need to do it immediately following the Super Bowl.
Text line coming through as we talked about it. Do you think any of the off-season stuff, the way he went about things, had anything to do with his sophomore slump? Someone texted, yes. No, all teams had film. They broke down his weaknesses, and now he has to come back stronger than ever. For sure, he had a setback due to him traveling and not focused on his career. I don't know if this PR tour actually affected CJ, but I bet he's afraid that it may have. Listen, to the one that was before, for me personally, listen, everybody's got their own opinion. For me personally, I didn't watch CJ, especially during training camp and mandatory mini camps and all of that, and even during the season, and think, man, he doesn't have focus. Like I didn't get that feel of it. I think I did see a jump and a boost in confidence based off of what happened the previous year, which I don't think it moved to arrogance or anything, but I did see a different level of confidence that was there. I mean, I do. I think the start of it was truly kind of the offensive line issues that then took off for him. And then whatever discourse happened between him and Bobby or the staff, that, you know, I think also that played a bigger thing of it. I didn't love the talking, and maybe you dial that back. But, you know, him playing in an NBA, if he wants to go play an NBA All-Star weekend, I don't see a problem with it. I don't think he will. Hell, he won't even compete. And the Pro Bowl right now, it looks like he's really pulling it all the way back. But I didn't get a sense that his offseason caused lack of focus or anything like that. I just think the NFL is hard.
To me, I would never say the sophomore slump was or any poor play was because of a lack of focus in the offseason. To me, that's hard for us and for me to draw that parallel. I will say this. Again, back to my original point. Like, It is very hard, even when you're established and a veteran like the Bradys, and I'm talking about Brady when he was with New England, and like Rodgers when he was with Green Bay, and these guys that are with the same team forever, right? Until you get to that point where you know the offense like the back of your hand, you're essentially coaching it. You know the game like the back of your hand. Like you, I mean, Pat's obviously a great one too. I should have mentioned him from jump. But until you get to that level, like, I don't care what anybody says. If your offseason revolves around, hey, let me get these quick workouts in so I can go do this NBA weekend. Hey, let me get this quick workout in, these two workouts in or three workouts in this week with my guys. Let me hurry up and get this throwing session in so I can shoot off to China and do this camp tour or whatever with what's my man's name up at Micah Parsons, right? You know, in there somewhere, you got to fit in family time. You got to fit in mom. You got to fit in just a little bit of a vacation just to go kick it and with your family and downtime. Like you can't be fully focused and dialed in if everything you do from a workout perspective, that those schedules revolve around all these different events. Like I just and I'm not knocking guys that do it. I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm simply saying that there's, until you are established and you know things, the league and your offense and your guys and your routine like the back of your hand, you will never be able to convince me, because I've tried to live it. You will never be able to convince me that your workout schedule, your training schedule, your day-to-day schedule revolving around all these different events that include having to fly places and stay in places for an extended period of time in the offseason. You're sacrificing something when you do that, period. Yep.
Yesterday we had a conversation about the Texans that we feel like, hell, we probably need to do that about a team that's going to be playing again before them. That's the Astros. We'll do that coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
This time next week, we will be in New Orleans. We will be in New Orleans ready for you 2 o'clock on Monday, getting ready for the big game, getting you ready all week long. Should be a really, really fun trip, and not just a trip, but us trying to bring you all the best content, the best conversations, the best moments to kind of put you in the space of New Orleans and what that week is like. Shout out to our good friends at with Flight by Yuengling, as they will be there to help us bring you the best that we can bring you. Also, Low T Center exclusive furniture, Mokarem Injury Lawyers, also as well helping us get down there in New Orleans for the big game. But like I said, man, we should have really, really cool guests, all shows. From Payne and Pendergast in the loop to us as well. And again, like Clint said earlier this week, check out our social media stuff there as well, as we will have a lot of additional content, behind the scenes content that you don't want to miss as we'll be down there coming up. We'll be down there Sunday coming up.
Absolutely, man. Make sure, if you're not already, make sure you're following us on YouTube and Twitch and subscribe and stay plugged in right there too, from the video component aspect of this thing as well. We'll be doing some stuff in New Orleans. It's pretty cool. A lot of folks from around these parts, a lot of our listeners, I'm sure they venture over to New Orleans from time to time, and you know, I'm a big foodie. I'm not labeled an official foodie on social medias or anything, but I show enough love a good meal, a good lounge, a good drink, and a good vibe. And so on top of keeping you up to date with some great guests and stuff from Super Bowl Radio Row. Oops, wasn't supposed to do that, from Radio Row. we'll keep you locked and loaded. So dial in, no doubt about it. And if you so choose to follow me on social media, I sure enough appreciate that as well, on Instagram and on Twitter at Clint Sterner. Pretty easy. CLINTSTOERNER. Go ahead and give me a follow. Appreciate you. Thank you. Talk to you next week.
You went for it all, Chris. I mean, spell the name.
Make sure, man. Silent O. Silent O gets you every time, man.
Yeah, that's Silent O. And I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't know I was ready for you to just go through and give the full.
Hey man, full look, we're gonna talk about Yingling, low T, and
did
exclusive and Mo'Kara.
Did you want to give IG as well?
Did you? Oh, I already did. I said IG and Twitter. Oh, same thing. Clinch Turner's.
Same
thing.
There you go.
Same thing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. Slightly different content from time to time. You betcha.
We got on the elevator yesterday. I thought TikTok was dead. I went ahead and shut it down when it came. I pulled it up that day before and it said unavailable. So I went ahead and removed that sucker. I heard a lady on the elevator the other day was like, yeah, my husband's been sending me TikToks. I was like, oh, it's still going?
It was dead for like one day and then it came right back.
Yeah, I thought what I had heard was if you were already using it, you could continue to use it, but it was a new user ban. I could be totally wrong. I've never been on TikTok.
I thought it was gone. Yeah. We'll see. Well, stay with us. Should be a fun week as well. All right, Clint, we talked about this yesterday with the Texans. You know, for this team to take the next step, the guys that need to step up, the guys that need to take their game to another level, we saw many guys do it from year one with D'Amico to year two, as we mentioned them, take their games up to another level. The Jalen Petries of the world, the Derek Stingleys of the world, we saw those guys take their games to another level. How about the Astros? The Astros are in a space where, as we hear from Dana Brown and company, that yes, we're definitely trying to compete. That's what the name of the game is. They're trying to compete. There is no, hey, let's reload. No, they're trying to compete. And when you hear that and look at that, they definitely need guys to take steps up from where they were last year. And we look at this, when you lose a Kyle Tucker out of the lineup and you replace him with Tommy Trammell, as where it is right now, when you lose potentially an Alex Bregman, you lose those guys, you need people to step up in many different spaces, right? In the lineup, in the rotation, in the bullpen, you need guys to stand up. Now, listen, I want to have a realistic conversation. Now, I don't want to see anybody texting in anybody that isn't realistic, like Pinocchio. If you've listened to this show, you know who Pinocchio is.
I'm a real boy.
That guy.
Well, Forrest.
All right. Or as Clint has called him time to time again, Forrest.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. But no, we don't need to have any. But who are realistic guys that you look at on this team? Because they're going to need some. Right. As we see right now, Alex Bregman is not on the team, so that's even bigger. Who are the guys, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch as well, who are the guys for the Astros that they need to take another step forward?
Yeah, this is interesting because I'm split between two guys, Ron. I'm split between two guys that are already playing some pretty good baseball. But I think, as you mentioned, with the departure of Kyle Tucker and more than likely Alex Bregman, I think there's two guys that have to really step this thing up, but I'll go with my initial gut here. I think it's Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, I think he's got to be on anybody's list.
and I look, I'll be honest with you. Jeremy's been great, especially in clutch moments, and with the World Series MVP. And I mean, he's put up some pretty good numbers. He improved last year in the regular season from the year before. It's not like I'm not saying he's not improving. I'm just saying, like, Jeremy Pena has to take the next step, because I think when you lose Bregman and Tucker, the lineup overall loses some length. And you've got to find somebody that, for the right reasons, fits in that top five. And I think when you look at Jeremy Pena, I think he needs to solidify himself as a two-hole hitter.
Try to stretch that lineup. That would be a big thing if he could slide up there in that two spot and kind of stretch things out. Yep. and have that lineup better.
Yeah. Well, you do that and you've got Altuve, Pena, Yordan Alvarez, Christian Walker, Diaz. I mean, you're getting back into five or six deep. That's pretty damn strong. You know what I mean? So I think
the place where he would see the best pitches.
Yeah.
If he's between, yeah, I would think Altuve and Alvarez.
And plus, you put a guy at the top of the lineup that's got, you know, elite speed from a standpoint of being able to steal bases, from being able to, I mean, a walk. He can be in scoring position in one pitch kind of deal. I mean, I think Jeremy Pena, I don't know why, and I do because you've had Bregman and Altuve and Tucker and all these guys, and they're healthy, so there's really not been much of an opportunity when it matters the most, when those guys are all healthy, for him to be in one of those top spots. We've seen him in the leadoff role. We've seen him in the two-hole, kind of randomly, sporadically. So I understand why he hasn't been there, but I think this is a year where the opportunity is going to be there, and he needs to solidify himself. And I don't even know what that means, but the organization damn sure does. He needs to solidify himself in that two-hole spot, and I think it just changes the game for the Astros.
Yeah, someone text in Chaz McCormick and Pena. Someone text in one of mine. Someone text in Spencer Arrighetti. Spencer Arrighetti is one of mine as well, because right now, like, you're looking at this rotation. They've got some arms. I don't know how healthy some of them are or how healthy they're going to be. You feel pretty good about those two up at the top.
Mm-hmm. Hunter Brown.
Right. We got to put a max somewhere. Like, I mean, Ronel Blanco's got to be at the max right here. Like, you can't look at Ronel Blanco to me and think, well, I think Ronel Blanco's got another step to take from last year. No, I think that's max. Spencer Arrighetti, to me, clearly is one that has another step to take. Mm-hmm. And they may need him. I mean, who is the fifth starter?
Ronel, maybe?
I think he's the fourth starter.
Because you have Framber,
Hunter Brown, Blanco, Arrighetti.
Right.
And then it's...
Well, you get into Christian Javier, you get into Luis Garcia, you get into Jose Urquidy, you get into Lance. I mean, you got... The thing is, again, like, to your point, they've all either been banged up or are banged up, and so it's
Eiffel Tower's in there, France.
JP France is in there. So I mean, you've got a lot of options. I mean, look, you're five through eight, if they're healthy, is really, really
solid.
That's
the thing.
Who's the fifth?
Yeah, and who's healthy?
The guy they traded for, Hayden Wisniewski. That's probably going to be the fifth starter.
Think so?
Yeah.
I mean, he got to be in the mix, right?
I guess in the mix. Yeah.
Hopefully.
But again, as we're saying those names, that's why Spencer Arrighetti is a big one to me. He may be your third starter. Maybe Blanco is, but he's the one where you look up and you can say, I can see a jump.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you one that may be able, Ron, maybe the biggest one of them all. I know that there's the biggest opportunity. Jake Meyers. He's just slightly above Forrest Whitley for you. I can tell.
I screwed it up.
The opportunity, like, and I'm not even talking about jumping into be. Well, I'm not even talking about jumping into being a guy that hits in the top five. I'm talking about a guy that can be a solid six hole hitter. I'm talking about a guy that can swing the bat well enough, consistently enough at the plate that we don't talk about Dubon should be playing in front of and legitimately have that conversation. Like, just start trending in the right direction as the prospect they thought you were going to be. And I'm telling you, that changes. That changes the thought about the outfield. That's for damn sure. You don't think Jake has? You don't think Jake has a chance?
Jake feels like we're entering hope territory. You said for me personally, above Forrest. Like that's not fair. You know, that's not fair. Jake's gonna be in the major leagues. Now, I don't know how many other teams would have him where he is as a starting center fielder in November, but he is going to major leagues. Forrest is a Sugar Land player. But I just that one like Pena is very realistic.
I didn't say it was realistic.
Spencer to me is realistic.
True, I agree.
Jake, man. Jake can run into a few and get them over the wall. Yeah, I just don't like to me there's I hope he hadn't reached his max for his sake. But I like that one's just that one is a pleasant surprise. I mean, a pleasant surprise. That one, Chaz, we know can take a step up.
Yeah, I agree.
What he did last year. I've seen that. Jake's pretty much walked out and done what Jake has done every year.
I feel like we know what he is.
Yes. He feels like Max.
Your boxer, your dead boxer dog?
Rest in peace. But he just, he's feel like he's maxed out.
He's maxed out.
Yeah, he's maxed. Yeah, he's maxed out.
I thought you were talking about your old buddy that.
Now people, see, now you've opened the floodgates with this. Now people's talking about John Singleton. If there ain't nobody on this team who ain't maxed out more than John Singleton.
I mean, John ain't going to get the run, man. You thought John's run was limited last year when Diaz was rotating at first base. Hell, you got Christian Walker over it now. Big John, I mean, they may be able to move him.
Yeah, you're right. How does he get on the field?
I mean, how does he even get out there?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, Big John, he's maxed out. All right.
I'm a Big John fan. I just think his days are numbered.
I would absolutely agree with that as well. All right, coming up as we continue to roll through here, the Texans. Well, we understand the search is on the OC search, and I've tried to kind of back it off a little bit, as I know we ended in distress last night with Clint, the latest person who was interviewed. But maybe some good news, Clint. Maybe some good news about one of the candidates. And I think there's a question that I think a listener brought up, and we hadn't really, really kind of talked out. I want to do that coming up on the other side.